You know what this is like?
I'm sorry, Tim.
This is...
I'm not listening.
You know what this is like, though?
It's so amazing to me that you don't understand the most basic things sometimes.
I do understand the most basic things.
No.
I'm just saying, it seems like that's why you have... We should continue this, but let's not talk about it here. I'm just saying, I have this air conditioner at home. And the air conditioner has this hose that comes out the back.
Uh-huh.
And as it's air conditioning, the bulk, let's say, the bulk of what comes out of the air conditioner comes out through that main vent, the cold air and so forth. And then just the extra, the water that it takes out of the air, comes out of the small tube.
So therefore it's sharing the water through both areas.
Think of your body as an air conditioner.
I think of your body as a series of tubes, like the internets. You're right. We should just Google this later. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not confused. You are.
I just don't understand. All I'm saying is...
When you drink water, it hydrates every aspect of your body.
That is true.
That is true. He doesn't understand this.
It doesn't come out of your ears. All right.
Oh, God.
Okay.
You're so confused.
I really kind of am confused. I think your body is set up differently than that.
It is not.
Have you ever seen somebody, have you ever asked somebody to compare your body with maybe someone else's? I think maybe your body is...
Rick, I can't believe you just think you have one tube from your mouth to your, to your friend.
I'm
and
just
that's
saying,
the only place the water goes. That is wrong.
I'm saying...
I think it gets to your skin and everything. You know, when you drink water, you hydrate yourself.
Okay, I understand.
Not
that.
Everyone is built the same way. There's good, better, and best.
I think maybe there's... And never mind. Ladies and gentlemen, let me get this call here, and then we'll go to the Ministry of Truth. Hello, John. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey, I'm aware that Tim Riley is above reproach, but
no,
he made
true.
A mistake on Miss Vicki Lawrence's...
I made a mistake?
Oh.
I'm sorry, sir.
Thank you. That's the right answer. I was
born in the same town she was, Inglewood, California.
Who?
Vicki Lawrence.
Oh, is Vicki Lawrence from Inglewood, really?
That place is a slum now.
I was born in 1959.
Slum then? Didn't Vicki Lawrence seem like one of those types who's from, like, I don't know, she's from you know, Rust Bucket, Kansas or something? And
she looks that way, doesn't she?
Yeah, you know, yeah, Bilgewater, West Virginia or something.
So what is the mistake?
What is the mistake?
You said her big hit was Rainy Night in Georgia.
Oh, it's the lights went out in Georgia.
That is correct. Okay, stand correct.
All right.
Yeah,
sorry,
and that was always on the top 10 list of worst songs of all time. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's right up there with Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty. All right, thank you, sir.
Don't ever play that on your program, Rick.
What, the night the lights went out in Georgia?
Please don't.
I'll try.
Now you will, right?
No, I'll try to avoid it.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Scotty J is a big fan of that Baker Street song.
Is it by Jerry Rafferty? No, we've talked about that. Man, and every time I walk through the lobby, they're playing it here. I don't know why that is. By the way, I'd like to thank, who is this from? This is from, I lost it, Denise, I think, sent me this, How to Flirt. She suggested that I use these tips. This is in case I run
That's
out
true.
Of...
true, you don't flirt and then call somebody sister.
In run of... Sister, it's a term of generic affection. It's, yes?
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
What does that look for?
Seems a little strange that you give all these sexual innuendos, talk about all this stuff, and you're like, all right, sister.
Oh,
and I have to say, Aaron Geek is
a religious term.
Yes, no, it's the way that we're all brothers under and sisters under the skin. It's
you think of a lady with a habit in the...
No, it's well, no, you know, the weird thing is, if you, like, you know, Utah is filled with hot Mormon girls, and they all call each other sister. It's all sister this. Like, I remember the first time I toured Temple Square in Salt Lake City, I'll never forget this incredibly hot Mormon girl who, because you go to the Temple Square, which is a pretty cool thing. I really strongly suggest that you tour that if you're ever in Salt Lake City. It is pretty amazing. But there's this hot French missionary girl named Sister Tabaret. With an X at the end. And there's something about girls that have a silent X at the end of their name. It's like, I guess it's like a French girl thing or whatever. But Sister, and we were supposed to call her Sister. That's what you're supposed to refer to her as. And so I'm just talking to this French hot girl and having to call her Sister a lot. And so, yeah, that was all kind of weird.
We saw a bunch of Amish kids this weekend on the coast.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What were
they doing
at the coast?
Just getting out of Portland for a night. There was,
No, but what were they doing at the coast?
I don't know. They must live out there somewhere, but
Did
I watched
they go
this.
By horse and buggy?
No, the women, there are these guys and girls, and the girls were all wearing the authentic like hair pieces and like the dresses. The guys were all dressed normally. Have you ever seen that movie called The Devil's Playground?
Devil's Playground, yeah, where they do that.
The Rumspringa. They were totally on it. It was like crazy. So the kids...
supposed to go out into the world.
Yep, they're supposed to go out in the world and be crazy. So the guys were all dressed in normal street clothes. And, you know, the girls... and they're, like, smoking cigarettes and stuff. And the girls were all dressed in the authentic...
you know, Amish stuff.
It was really cool.
Being Amish is one of those things that every once in a while, like whenever I get fired from a radio job, being Amish seems strangely appealing. It's one of those things for like a day and a half ago. Maybe I should just go be Amish somewhere. And then I kind of move on.
Just don't pay your utility bills. I'm sure you've been Amish on many occasions.
Seriously.
Most of us have.
When I walk in.
Without a vehicle.
My apartment's just dank and quiet. Man, okay, this is a final story, and then we'll go to the news here. I remember, though, when I told you about that apartment that I lived in Salt Lake, where I quit answering my mail because it was just nothing but bills that I couldn't pay anyway.
Was that the one you left all of your belongings in the house?
I left all my belongings. Yeah, my friend Todd had a truck, and he pulled up, and I lived on the second floor. He pulled up at 2 in the morning. I had a Glad bag with like some of my clothes. I took my clothes, my books, and my CDs, and that was it. I tossed them into the truck from the second. I didn't even carry them down the stairs. Just threw them off the balcony in the back of his truck. Jumped into the back of the truck and like, you know, go, go. And like he sped off into the night, and I just left a note on the front door like, I'm sorry, and you know, stole, keep the deposit. And I just left everything there. And it was just because I'd done this stupid thing, go figure. I had moved there with a girl, and a girl that I just, you know, I was just such a jerk and just such a terrible boyfriend in so many hundreds of ways. And I was like, you know, and it was that thing where had I just been a man about it, I would have just moved there by myself because I was just not meant. You know, that stuff Lycus always said about how you're not supposed to be in a serious relationship before you're 25. All of that stuff is really true. All that stuff Lycus says about, you know, you're too young to have a serious relationship. Be single. It kind of sounds jerky when Lycus says so much of that stuff, but so much of it is true. And I, especially in radio, because I was just gone all the time and, you know, just constantly just on the knife edge of mental collapse because I had no money and just always worried about being fired and was totally not meant to be in a relationship at that time. But of course, was I man enough to say that? No, I'm like, oh, come to Utah, you know, and so leave everything, leave your life behind, move 5 states with me to Salt Lake City, give up your life and your friends, leave your family behind. And so then we'd been in Utah for like 4 months and I was like, this isn't working out. And anyway, and so she moved out, and here's the really horrible thing. This, you want to know, this is single, young, 20-something guy in a nutshell. This is it right here. The very last day that my girlfriend was ever at that apartment, the day that she was moving out, had to ride her truck, packing all of her crap, driving back home, the very last day she was there, it was a bottle of that Lipton iced tea that has like lemon flavor with it. She had a bottle of that. She finished half of it. She'd put the lid back on. She had set it down by the phone in the living room, which was on this sort of like little bureau thing. So she is halfway through the Lipton. She sets it down. That was the day she moved out. I left that apartment about a year and a half later, and it was still there.
Oh.
It was still in exactly the same spot because I had just never moved it. Because I had never moved it. Because I just, why? What's the point? I would get, this was, my, you want to talk about how I became flabby. Because, you know, when I moved to Portland, it's not, you know, I'm a little doughy now. But, man, I was really doughy when I moved here. You want to know how that happened?
How did that happen?
Here's how it happened, Tim. What can you always afford when you're a DJ? You can always...
macaroni and cheese.
Exactly.
I still live on that.
Top ramen.
You can afford 3 things. Top ramen, macaroni and cheese, and when you've just gotten paid...
Or when
you've just had a talent fee, frozen pizza. So there you go. So I would get like... and I would really... like when I felt upscale, I would splurge. Get that Red Baron. Yeah. Put it there. And all I would do is I would just go into the kitchen... you know, no sense of preheating the oven. Just cook it right there. Right out of the thing. And I would set the box on my left because the oven was on my right. Set the box on my left, put the pizza in, eat the pizza, whatever. And I would never throw the boxes away. They would just stack there. So by the time I moved out, I mean, just, you know, 2, 3, 4 dozen boxes just piled on each other in the kitchen. At one point, I bought a potato because I felt like something needed to be... I needed to eat something natural and healthy. I never actually ate it. I just sort of bought it, and then I put it in the sink because I didn't want to put anything in my fridge because my fridge was filled with mold. So I'm like, well, I'll put this potato in the sink. And then someday, I'll clean it and wash it and eat it. That never happened. What did happen is
oh,
the potato...
Oh, those crazy little potatoes?
Yes, it just sprouted little tendrils and tentacles.
Yep. Gross.
And I'm pretty sure that as time went on, the potato moved across the sink and it started to work its way down the drain by itself. I can't really... I didn't have, like, a camera on it. So I can't tell you that that's the case. It certainly seemed like that was the case.
God, I thought I was out of control. That's so wrong.
You... I, in retrospect, and then we have to go to the news here, but in retrospect, I do wish that I had taken photographs of that apartment because it sounds like a comedic radio anecdote. It sounds, and I know that the way I tell the story, it sounds like an exaggerated, kooky story that I'm telling just because it's funny. And it, I mean, it is funny, but it's absolutely true. I got the newspaper every day at work, but for some reason I was also subscribed to the paper, to the Salt Lake Tribune at my house. Or the Deseret News, rather, because it was the one that would come in the evening. And I would get home from work, and there's the paper laying in front of my door, and I would reach down, pick up the paper, open the door, and then just toss the paper on the floor, and then, like, flop down on the couch. And, you know, I never read the paper because I got it at work. By the end of the time I moved out, it was like this Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like, pyramid of papers in the living room. I feel really... I wish I could track down the landlord and just anonymously be like, I'm so sorry, and just apologize to him, you know?
I actually took pictures of my dishes before I moved out of my last apartment. The mold on one of them was so thick, it was almost filling the pan. I have pictures of it.
Did
it
you
was...
throw them away?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've done that, too. Where you just throw them away because, like, a girl's coming over for dinner, you just buy new dishes.
Or stick them in the stove.
I put them in the stove, too.
Or in different, like, cupboards right. And whatnot.
Well, and
I don't think other people do that, though. We're
no,
pretty gross.
No, and, you know, and it's just, it's a bad, yeah. It's a bad, okay, just final story. Here's how bad the apartment was. I do remember that there was a girl I was seeing for a while, and of course, when your apartment is disgusting, what do? You always go to their place, right? And so, but, you know, it's like, well, I'll just, you know, why don't we do, baby, your place is closer. But I remember at one point, there was like one time, I forget why, it's like her apartment was being fumigated or some crap. It's like, we couldn't go there, and I put it off and put it off and put it off. She was like, well, we'll just have to stay at your place. And I'm like, well, fine. And so I'd done, literally, we get to my place, and it's like, I don't even remember what I told her, what excuse I gave her, but like I literally walked her into the apartment. It was really late at night, and we were just kind of going straight to bed, and I literally walk her through my apartment with my hand over her eyes so she can't look. I'm like, just keep her eyes shut. And, of course, she must have thought that I had, like, cheerleaders tied up or something in there, that I wouldn't let her look around the apartment. We're walking through, and I have one hand on the back of her head guiding her, and the other hand over her eyes, so she can't look around the apartment.
That's a little creepy.
She must have been convinced that I just had, you know, it just like kitty porn all over the walls or something, that I wouldn't let her look anywhere. So
we're going to the news?
Yeah, it's a bad scene. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Minister Thing with it hit him right now.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
Hello.
We should end this kitty porn.
Yes, thank you. Well, let's talk about mold. Let's talk about moss. Kate Moss, that is. They're off again, on again. Couple of Pete Doherty and Kate Moss are back together, traveling in Ireland, where Doherty's band is on tour.
Isn't that the guy that was shooting up in the loo?
Yes, that's
the guy who looked like a baby
shamble.
Yeah. Yep, the 32-year-old supermodel took the stage last night at a nightclub south in Dublin and sang alongside Doherty at the start of the Baby Shambles new tour. They came at the front door and chatted with fans. Kate got on stage at a few points and helped sing the chorus of a few songs. They both appear to be in fine form, said those who attended.
Okay.
Fine form, like super wasted, or fine form, like, okay.
Yeah, that's what that guy screams. Anytime you're injecting drugs into your buttocks in a public bathroom, that's not really fine form.
No, it isn't.
All right. Who's he with? And is Kate Moss?
Yes.
All right. So, well, at least it's not a waste of anybody good. I mean, it's, you know, that thing, sometimes it's a waste of talent when it's with some hot girl that's with a loser.
Yeah.
At least it's just Kate Moss. Is this rack two that I'm loading
here?
All right.
LA's city attorney's office has charged hotel heiress Paris Hilton with misdemeanor driving under the influence. Spokesperson Nick Velasquez says Hilton was stopped by LAPD in Hollywood earlier this month.
This morning, the city attorney's office filed charges against Paris Hilton for DUI. Ms. Hilton is scheduled to be arraigned on these charges on Thursday, September 28th. She was technically charged with two counts, driving under the influence and driving with an alcohol level of 0.08 or above.
I hope she goes to prison and they beat her with a table leg.
Absolutely. He talks about what Hilton could face if convicted.
That is the official stance of CBS Radio, by the way.
Ms. Hilton would be sentenced by the court as a first-time DUI offender. The maximum sentence on a first offense is a $1,000 fine and 6 months in the county jail. The minimum mandatory probationary sentence would include a fine, probation, and an alcohol program.
I think that
come on, they should make an example out of her.
That's what I'm saying, and I think it ought to be directly.
Hotel heiress is everywhere.
It ought to be proportional to how much you're worth. That's what it ought to be.
Yeah, well, because all these girls look up to her all the time, and if, you know, they're just going to let her off with a warning, just like they let Lindsay Lohan into bars.
Hey, Sarah, can we just pause for a moment? Can I show you something?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, I want you to close your eyes.
God.
It's not horrible. It's
going to remind me of your ex-girlfriend watching through the apartment.
It's not horrible. Keep your eyes shut. I'm gonna show you a photo, and I want you to open your eyes now. Does this person mean anything to you, this photo? Do you recognize this person? You may not. Don't feel like you're compelled to.
I don't know. She looks vaguely familiar.
All right.
Who's the werewolf she's with?
Because here's the thing, is that yesterday on this program, you had talked about a person who is quite cruel to you as a schoolgirl.
No, that's not her.
Who you were trying to track down.
No, Michelle Vandenberg.
Let's get to...
Oh, sorry. Oh, come on. She made my life a living hell. Okay. I can use my little resource I have.
I'm just saying that a listener had... This is exactly what you had said and what I had feared, which is...
I just want to find her.
I've gotten a whole lot of like, is this her? You know, and so...
No, she was blonde.
Okay. Thanks. To narrow it down some more, does she have any distinguishing marks?
No, she spelled her name in a weird name. I haven't been able to find her.
Yeah. All right. Rick, good God almighty, how the hell are you still alive? What kind of apartment did you live in? I hope for his sake that DJ wannabe Tim is listening. A creeping potato, for the love of God. Holy crap.
Okay. You do sound insane.
I'm amazed that I didn't just reek of filth and garbage at work every day. And maybe I did. It's entirely possible that I did, I guess. In a radio station, though, who can really tell? All right, here's Tim Riley.
The Christian Coalition of Georgia is splitting from its headquarters group, saying the national organization is drifting into liberalism and addressing such issues as global warming and minimum wage. Here's Chairwoman Sadie Fields.
We believe that they are drifting away from our basic tenets, and in order to preserve the integrity of the organization and our mission, which is a pro-life, pro-family agenda, representing the citizens of Georgia in the marketplace of ideas and arena of debate, it was something we had to do.
There needs to be more focus on wife beating and shame.
So they're joining states such as Alabama, Idaho, and Ohio.
That's a coalition of the proud right there.
It is, right.
Okay.
She also cites examples how the national organization is at odds with the local chapter. The
president of the National Christian Coalition, Roberta Combs, went to Alabama and campaigned on behalf of Governor Bob Riley's tax increase. Mm-hmm. And that caused some consternation among folks here in Georgia because John Giles, my counterpart in Alabama, was waging a campaign to defeat the tax increase.
All right, take it back, Tim. I'm sorry. In no way does that accent resemble New England or England, for that matter. I didn't mean to lump you in with those people. My apologies.
We're nothing like those people.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All right, take a break. We got come back here. Griffin says his wife is nasty with hiding moldy dishes everywhere. Okay. We'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbacher from the Portland Tribune when we return. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Careful when that microphone is on. Hello. Right to the sound.
Okay.
That's it, too. Come on.
I'm talking about. Yeah. I used to play that song over and over and over again.
I found it on tape, and I've been playing it. That's why the whole album just cracks me up.
How would you... Do you even have a tape player anymore?
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, I get a press car with a tape player. And I got this big box of old cassettes, man. It's just like, I just grab bag. I just stick my arm in there, and I pull out. It's like, oh, cool, ZZ Top.
Every so often, I get an air check on tape. Then I throw them away. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Well, this is one of those, I mean, seriously, it costs like a dollar to get a CD made now. It's just, you know, I think I told you that I got some guy sent me a postcard last week. It was some radio program, and they had enough money to get postcards made. But then, like, if you would like to hear an air check of this, send us a physical, like, write to this address, and we'll send you a cassette. So that, no. No, that's not going to happen. Dennis Pitsenbarger, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, sir?
I am doing quite well.
So I missed your... Now, Sarah was out of town. I missed your show. My TiVo malfunctioned. It didn't malfunction, but I had the wrong time.
You malfunctioned in the way that you didn't set it?
No, I set it, and then it was like... I don't know. I had the wrong channel because it wasn't... For some reason, it wasn't showing up in the listings. So there's a thing we have to do with my time and channel, and I had it wrong.
It is. There was a little goof up. They didn't get it in there in time for the updates.
I had to do it by time, and then I didn't get it.
Yeah, but now if you just search by the Fuel Show, it will come up now.
All right, so that's so the Fuel Show, which is on every Sunday at 12:30 on Portland's. See, is this their logo?
Yeah, that's their actual logo.
Hmm.
It's not too shabby. Green.
It's not that bad. I mean, it looks like a sports team.
Yeah, I get, or like an energy drink of some kind.
I like it when people say, "Is that country western television?"
No, what does CW mean?
Well, what CW is kind of the love child of CBS and WB.
I thought it was UPN and
or
WB.
Well, who owns UPN?
I don't know.
CBS.
Really?
I believe so. So I guess it was.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I don't know, man. It's a bunch of stuff that they pulled off other stations and made one good
station.
We're
all so well-versed in the media here. All right.
Hey, I wasn't on there before, so all I care about is now.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's talk to Griffin. Griffin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello. How y'all doing?
What's up, brother?
Yo, yo. Hey, my wife does the exact same thing with old, moldy, nasty dishes. I totally feel you there, sister. I'm right there with you.
Who are you talking to?
Everybody.
Okay. So your wife does what now? But you're married, though. Here's the thing. I did this because I was single, and there was, forgive me, no woman around to help me clean.
Oh.
No. I mean, I'm just saying, no.
You mean the woman that you pay to clean your apartment once a month?
I can pay her in
You have
though.
A maid?
Well, sort of.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a long story. No, I mean, it's not that it's a woman so much, but I mean, when you're living by yourself, and let's be honest, of the two genders... Women are typically the more neat of the two, unless your name is Sarah. But you know that's true, and you know that you're an exception. You know that you are typically male-like in that way. If you were to, I mean, guys will just live in their own filth, and women typically are less willing to do that. So, and it, again, the sort of evidence of that is that the empirical evidence there is that the apartment was pretty well kept until I started living by myself, and then it all went to hell. So anyway, so your wife does what?
When our dishes get really moldy and nasty, and spaghetti turns different colors and glows.
Yes.
Company coming over. We'll just toss it into the oven.
Yeah. No, I've actually put and it, like the dirty clothes go right into the hall closets.
Don't open the closet. Keep walking through.
Everything is just be stashed away. And then you'll find that, like, a well-placed blanket can do wonders. You can just put a whole lot of stuff in the corner and just throw a dark colored blanket over it and then just sort of keep the lights pretty dim.
We've got a puppy, too, so we were flipping cushions and doing everything else.
I've done that, too. Exactly what you're turning the couch cushions over to try to hide. Have you ever done this? You ever positioned your couch pillows over the cushions to try to hide the stainy part in the corner? Yeah. Good times. All right, thank you, Griffin.
Can I ask you something, Rick?
Yes. All right, there you go.
So you are engaged in a partnership called marriage, correct?
Yes.
And you, part of that, you kind of agree we're better, worse, sickness and health, cleanliness and...
Where is this leading?
You have a maid? I mean,
I
work 65 hours a week.
I don't have a maid.
I come home and help my wife clean the house.
It's not a secret. I've talked about this on the air, that in the past, we had a woman.
A young woman who would come and clean for
there
you.
There was a woman who was a friend of Lars, and I should say it right now that this is not, we have this discussion that happened later on, where there was a woman who came and...
Let her head on fire?
Yes, and got her hair caught on fire in the kitchen.
You're kidding.
While auditioning. No, there was...
While auditioning for the part? Clean my kitchen and she comes out Michael Jackson?
I'm merging like three things together. Recently, there was a woman, because the woman who used to clean our house isn't able to do it anymore. And she was a woman who worked with Lara and was not, as many people said, was not an illegal. But she was, a woman who was, she had family and a lot of kids, was always trying to earn extra money. And that's what she did for a living. She worked for like a maintenance company, for like a, janitorial company. And so she kind of cleaned houses on the side. And so Lara had kind of tossed her you know, some cash to come in and clean our house every now and again, like every 3 weeks or so. And the thing is, she'd only done, I think she did it like 3 or 4 times over the course of a few months. And it was so great, man. It was like you would come home and the house would just gleam. I mean, just cleaning stuff that it would never even occur to you to clean. Like the racks inside the refrigerator.
You don't clean the racks inside your refrigerator?
Why the hell would I clean the rack inside the refrigerator? It holds a milk carton.
I finally had to because something leaked and it was like stuck to it, so I had to clean it.
That's what I'm saying. You clean
only
it when it's an
when
impediment.
When it's necessary.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When it starts
Why
to
clean
stink?
When it's not dirty?
My point
I don't
exactly.
Get that.
So you don't realize how dirty it is until you actually start cleaning
and
it.
And I'm saying, no, that's what I'm saying is that like she would clean stuff that it never. Here's how Sarah and I operate. Here's how we roll. we take stuff that's dirty. And we make it clean. What this woman did, she would take stuff that was already clean and make it cleaner. I mean, it was crazy. Like, so she would clean all of the obvious stuff, like a stain on the stove or if you spill coffee somewhere. She would totally clean all that stuff up. And then, you know, like, she would polish, I swear to God, the underside of the water faucet, like in the sink. You know what I mean? Like in the kitchen sink. Like, she's polishing, like, the like stuff you'll never see.
Rick, I don't think other people are like us. I mean, I really think this is probably normal.
Do you clean the refrigerator racks as just a normal course of existence?
I have to
why?
Admit, I will get, you know why? I'll give you the out. It's the little one. Once you have a little one in the house, you realize when your daughter...
Does your baby poop in the fridge?
No, we don't keep her in the fridge, not long anyway, but, you know, when your 10-month-old daughter walks across the floor, crawls across the floor, and she looks at you and goes, da-da, and she's got a big dust bunny in her hand, that makes you clean the house.
I suppose if you don't train your kids not to eat dust.
Well,
I mean, really, that
train,
seems
train
like
a... Train a 10-month-old to not eat anything that they can't get their hands on.
Well, that's a fair point. All right, I'm just saying. So this woman would just... I mean, how you come home, and it's like you didn't even want to live in the house. Like, you wanted to move somewhere else and just come and look at it occasionally because it was so clean you didn't want to dirty it again.
What's the beauty of a hotel?
Yeah, and so she did that 3 or 4 times. And then, you know, and then she got, like, another full-time gig, and she didn't need the money anymore. And so, you know, and she was charging us less, I think, than, you know, because it was, like, a friend rate. And so we were like, well, we should look into maybe having this done now and again. And it's like, that's not a cheap thing. And so we've never had one since then. And she wasn't a maid, in the traditional sense. She was a woman that just would come over, like, once a month and clean. But we had, so she was kind of a house cleaner. But we had one woman... I come over and kind of talked to Laura a couple weeks ago about maybe doing the same gig. She had really big, sort of frizzy, white trash hair. Apparently, it was all aquanetted out. And there was a huge burning candle in the kitchen. And she was busy talking to Laura, and her hair caught on fire. And so Laura had to do the whole stop, drop, and roll, dip, roll kind of a thing. So on the ground, sort of like, quiet, give me a blanket. You know, totally just like wrapping the one. And they came home, and the house smelled of burned hair. And Laura's like, I don't think she'll be coming back. So, no, we do not have anybody to clean the house.
That'll work out for your future. You know why? Because as the heroin addiction kicks in around 60, 65, you'll be able to just kind of, you know, dope up, fall asleep, wake up, maid, cleans the house,
have
boom.
Somebody there to clean my folds. Yeah. So, no, but there are no... But
I don't think there's any personal cleaning in that service.
But
that's
Laura
a whole
and I
different...
are sort of like... It's sort of like two me's or two Sarah's or whatever. There's just, neither of us is really especially into cleaning the house. And we have this deal that she does the laundry and I do the dishes. But for both of those things, we will wait until just the absolute outer limits of necessity before doing that. I mean, just until there's really no choice at all. And basically what that means is when somebody else is going to be coming to the house. You know how frequently people come to my house anyway. It's like once every 3 years I'll allow somebody into my home. So that's about how often we have to clean the house.
So what color carpet do you have?
Originally or now?
White.
Yeah, it was white at one point. Now it's
gray.
Sort of a pattern. Yeah, it's kind of a plaid. And I don't have a kid, but I got a dog. And the thing about a dog
is... Yeah, but that's a different scene.
The dog is a vacuum.
Yeah, the kid puts stuff on the floor. The dog eats the stuff off
the
floor.
The dog will get rid of the larger chunks that would normally indicate to you that you got to clean the kitchen. Because, you know, if you do this, like you walk into the kitchen barefoot and you're stepping on things, you're like, oh, this floor is disgusting. The dog floor is always clean. Mm. So one of your typical indicators for cleaning the house is removed.
Now, oh, a dog is nothing more than a pre-rinse for your washing machine.
That's totally what it is. That's exactly it. All right. Should we break here?
Might as well.
All right. Dennis Pitzenbarger is here from the Portland Tribune and from The Fuel Show, which you can see every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. on Portland's CW. Did you forget what the hell channel that is?
Yes, 3.
Not 3 point something?
No, not. It's not on a walkie-talkie.
Okay.
It is on broadcast only.
There you go. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's been today. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We now have an established part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the program. Don't forget, coming up in about 15 minutes, we got your friend Tom Likas and then Donna Mike at 7. Let us go a final time to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And Carly said, its rum had nothing to do with the way three women were burned in a Miami adult club.
Miami is in Florida.
Oh!
Nope.
Wait, no, no.
The trio Miami. Is... The trio is suing Bacardi, alleging its 151-proof rum turned into a flamethrower because it has vapors that are prone to ignite.
Bacardi?
Yeah,
it's like that. But have you seen that video on YouTube of that frat guy getting set on fire?
No,
drinking a flaming Bacardi drink and his hair catches on fire.
Well, that sounds like
it's fantastic. It's like Darwin in action. Because they're at some house party. They're all really really drunk, mm-hmm. And his friends give him this frame, but it's not like a shot. I mean, it's like a water glass full of this stuff that's on fire. And he decides that his whole thing is he's going to try to shoot a water glass full of flaming alcohol. And he puts it down, and the next thing you know, it's like his sideburns and like the shoulder of his shirt are on fire. And the next thing you just see him on the ground, everybody like wrapping him in a blanket. Doesn't appear to be harmed, but goddamn, it's funny.
Well, in a motion to dismiss the case, Bacardi said the real cause of the flames was a bartender who poured rubbing alcohol on the bar and lit it as a way of promoting flaming drinks. Bacardi cites police and fire reports as saying a drunken customer put a paper menu in the fire, then pulled it up in the air, spreading the flames and injuring the woman.
All right. And where was that story from, Tim?
Miami, Florida.
Miami.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have one more or are we done?
There we go.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, Tim.
See you tomorrow.
Tim Riley, man who makes his own rules, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
There you go.
And
thank
his own hours. He's gone.
I'm leaving. All right. Then note to self that tomorrow we have to talk to Scotty J about his his maid.
God, the things that come out of his mouth.
Seriously.
I can't believe. Well, I guess I can bring
Why don't we just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Good friend, message.
Scotty J.
Don't shake your head. The last thing you said in the hallway was
good
the
afternoon.
Gaze.
Good
afternoon.
The gaze. I don't want to do a commercial
I'm not
going to
read
the
that
gaze.
Spot if it's about the gaze.
No, it's not about them. It's if I have to portray them. Because I don't think I could do a real good job. You might
I doubt that.
I don't know, you handled the drunken Mel Gibson pretty well.
Really?
Right, there's a difference.
You did look very glowing after the Mary Kay facial treatment on Friday.
Yeah, I actually heard from him again today. He was hoping you were putting up the link.
I did. I put the link up on Friday. You're glowing before and after picture. And I'm just saying, you do seem very... I really didn't notice this before. That watch is really the final... you do seem to put a lot of care into color coordinating everything. So you've got orange shirt, orange shoelaces, and I really didn't notice that you had a bright orange watch on. Where did you even get a watch that looks like that?
I'm really into watches.
Really?
I do have several.
Several watches?
Yes.
What kind of, where do you buy them?
They're not expensive ones. They're just cheapies, mm-hmm. Like this guest watch.
So you're very into accessories?
No, yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So
I'm just saying.
Watch.
No, I'm just, you know, just...
And shoes. All right. I like shoes too, but that's it.
Really?
It stops right there.
So you're into accessories
and
like shoes.
What about hair
control,
products?
But...
And hair products. And working out.
I am not into hair products.
Okay.
I just have to use them. That's all.
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about your housekeeper. So during the break, we were talking to Scotty about his housekeeper. How did you start this? How did the conversation start? Because we were talking about this woman that had cleaned my house a few times.
She might be from a different country.
And then, I think that was what you said. We walk out of the hallway, and Scotty is joining in the conversation. He goes, I have a woman who comes and cleans. I'm saying everything up in Mel Gibson now. I have a woman who comes and cleans my house. And, you know,
She's a Mexican, and she does a really, really great job of cleaning. And then he sort of left it there at that. And how much did you pay her?
About $100 a time. And it's somewhere around
now, let me
4 to 6 hours.
Let me ask you, just in your estimation, if you have to check one of two boxes, either is a resident of this country legally or is not a resident of this country legally, which box would you check for the woman who cleans your house?
I'm going to say resident for one reason, because I remember her saying something about getting her sister over here and this and that.
That sounds legal.
No, so she's legal and her sister isn't, and she wants to make that legal. So I'm pretty sure of it, because she also has a son, and he's in the school system.
Yes, of course, yes. That absolutely means she has to be a legal citizen. So how much did you pay, if I may ask, how much did you pay her to clean your house?
We ever come over once or twice a month. That's it.
And how many hours does it take?
Somewhere around 4 to 6 hours.
So six into 100. So
No. It's not 100 an hour.
I can't remember.
That's like $18.
So that's like $18 an hour.
Yeah.
That's,
all right. She
works
thorough.
She works hard
for the blinds.
Well, how do you tell her that she doesn't do a good job on the blinds?
You lick your finger. You rub it along the blinds and you go, see, as you're showing it to her.
C as
he means yes.
C as I know in that. S-E-E or C as in S-I?
As in Y-E-S. That's what C means.
Okay.
So you want her to clean the dust, but you're looking at the dust and going, yes?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I lick my finger, get the dust in my finger, put it in her face and go, see?
You put it in her face?
And then she sniffs the glove. Could you possibly be more suburban? I mean, I know I'm a really, really white man, but I mean, come on.
You did the same thing, and it probably cost you $100 a clean.
That's exactly what I deserve. Then I shoved her face into the dirt.
And then you burned another lady's hair.
And then you said, INS! You clean faster! Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Her on fire.
Okay, no. All right, where did you find this woman who cleaned your house? Let me ask, was it tacked up on the corkboard at Safeway?
Oh, no. Friend of a friend, and to mention the fact that I guess she used to work for the Hilton Hotels down here in Portland, you know, cleaning the rooms for that, but she has her own business now, so.
Okay. Thank you, Scotty.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what? I think we should do that commercial spot before today. I think Scotty should be a Esteban.
Hey, Scotty, would you like to be in the SuperheroStuff.com?
No, Scotty, you and Dennis would be really good.
Now, which one of you, we have this here, this new commercial from SuperheroStuff.com.
See, Scotty, the way you can grow up is by getting out of your comfort zone.
See,
playing different characters is what you're
saying. It's like role.
Yes,
it's role play. Have you ever done any role playing, Scotty?
I'm not going to, never mind.
That means yes.
No, I was still thinking about what you're approaching me with here, and I'm thinking I'm not the right character for this. I'm not that good of an actor.
Dennis is comfortable, and he's married.
Get comfortable. Get over here. Put your arm. Give me here. Let me put my arm around you.
Say this, Scotty. Say.
Get over here.
Say this. Say, "Ay, Poppy." They have El Hombre Guapo Batman lava lamps.
I don't even know what you
say. Give it to him to read.
Say this. Say, "It would look so fabulous in our kitchenette."
It would look so fabulous in our kitchenette.
Here's the thing about this commercial. I can't tell whether it's terrible or whether it's so bad that it becomes genius in some awful way. I really honestly don't know the answer to that.
The only way we can figure it out is to hear it.
That's kind of how Pepe Le Pew talks, right? A little bit like that.
Yeah, Scotty, all foreigners sound the same.
They all
sound like cartoon skunks. I was just going to say that. I think I'm going to put this in the B pile, and I'm going to think on it for a day.
Okay.
Good choice.
We should take... Okay, you can leave now.
We don't have any more breaks.
No, we should take these calls, though, is what we should do. Troy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
All right,
I think Guapo
is
ugly.
About my apartment.
Yes.
Guapo is handsome.
Is it?
Uh-huh. Feo is ugly.
Ah, there you go. Okay, yes. What, Troy?
All right. My sink got so bad that it was just eventually got clogged full of mold. Do you know that show, The Labyrinth?
I do.
You know the Bog of Eternal Stench?
Yes.
That's my sink.
The Bog of Eternal
and
Stench.
And so, you know, I have all these dishes and I'm throwing a party, which was probably not the best idea, and I didn't really think about it till the last minute. So people start showing up and they look at my sink and I'm like, oh my God. So I start shoving all these dishes into my shower. So later on in the night, I end up spilling beer all over me. And so I'm like, you know, great, you know, I'm all sticky and gross. So I go to take a shower, and all these dishes are all moldy, and there's flies everywhere. And I'm drunk, and I'm trying to, you know, clear out these dishes, and I end up breaking half of them. And finally, someone has to just pull me away from my kitchen, me screaming, I hate you, dishes!
Is there a better time for attention advertising?
That really is the best call ever. Oh, bless you, Troy.
I know.
Thank you, sir.
See ya.
All right, there you go.
I love reading this. This is a very interesting commercial.
It really is. I don't know. That's the sad thing is I don't know that we have time to do it anymore. We wanted to. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Oh, it's New Zealand, Dan. Hello. How are you, sir?
Yeah, you got through everything just in time.
Well, all right. Hold on just a second. Don't go anywhere.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
We're also joined by mailman Chris. Hello, sir. We missed you earlier.
Oh, the body's not even cold and you've got me replaced already, huh?
You know, the weird thing is...
Oh, it hurts.
Here's the weird thing is that we hadn't even announced that you had not called in. We were just doing a normal top-of-the-hour stuff. And Dan called in. It's like he sensed that you were not around.
He's got my back. Dan, thank you much. I found a new friend in cough syrup with codeine.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you take that. You won't wake up for a long time.
That was my thing. So, hey, I have a bone to pick with you, though, Rick.
Yeah.
You took advantage of the deathly ill yesterday.
Hello?
Yeah?
And how is that, sir?
Well, at the end of yesterday's call, when you told me that you got to the Geek Week and Geek.
Yeah.
And then afterwards you teased that you would get to it today.
Yeah, he's a liar.
What?
Rick!
I'm sorry. It's right there.
He's already sick.
But right. Dan says it sounds like you got to everything today, right?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. So that only puts you at, what, 75 push-ups?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's not at 75. I'm at 57. I'm at 57. That is where I'm at now. I'm now at 57.
You are not.
Dan...
That's a total lie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where am I? So I thought you had my back. What am I at? What number am I at?
Oh, well, you were at 60 yesterday, and then you cheated Chris.
I didn't cheat anybody. I was at 60 yesterday.
Yeah,
plus one for not getting to the Week in Geek.
Okay, but I got to everything today.
No, you didn't.
58.
What did I not get to today?
I thought you teased the Week in Geek again.
I did not. I don't believe I did. Dan?
Not an actual real tease, I suppose.
Yeah,
okay, so
saying.
You're 57?
So I'm
58?
So I'm at 58. Eight. Okay, so I'm at 58 push-ups. So I'm back below 60, which is what counts.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
tomorrow.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you for your assistance. Chris, we hope to speak with you tomorrow, my friend.
I will be talking to you tomorrow.
All right,
tomorrow.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Under 60.
I think you should do the commercial really quick.
We only have a minute here. We only have one copy of the copy, as it were.
Stefan, look, it's superherostuff.com.
You do that really well. You
let's go inside. I never told you.
I'll do it.
I am for real superhero. You know
which one of you is going to be Marco?
Well, I just did.
Marco. Ever since you've seen that hunky Batman movie, you think you have superpowers.
I don't even have to say that.
Mira,
that's the fun Supergirl baseball caps. Look, I am Supergirl. I am so strong and cute, no? Ah, Papa, they have Ombre Globo Batman lava lamps. Oops, lava lamps, excuse me.
Jesus Christ. I feel so awkward.
Estefan, it would be so fabulous in the kitchenette.
I don't feel comfortable with this.
That's what I'm saying. I think we have to speak to Ronaldo. It gets worse. I think we have to.
Yeah, I can't do that next line.
We're
going to have to speak to him.
I think we have to speak to Ronaldo about this copy. All right, there you go.
I think it's fabulous.
We'll see what his thing is. All right.
But then again, I don't have a shirt that matches my watch.
Really? Where's Aaron when we need him? Aaron would be. You know, Aaron is a swarthy Latin man.
And he does accessorize.
And he's a geek. Okay, there you go. All right, Aaron and we'll have him bring that Rodriguez guy. All right, there you go. All right. Dennis Pitchenbarger, Portland Tribune, and the Fuel Show, which is every Sunday at 12:30 on Portland CW, which is Channel 3.
Channel 3,
fantastic.
Not 32 point whatever.
Okay.
I don't know why I made that up.
No one knows. All right, and so forth.
Yeah, should be a good show. We're going to talk about the LS460 from Lexus, VW Passat wagon, and I'm actually going to go out to Sunset Speedway and drive a modified dirt car.
Fantastic. There you go. Want to thank Lisa Goddard, Ed McCarthy, and Gary Baumgarten as well. Like us next.
And so forth. Rick Emerson show produced by Sarah Excellent for AM970 Solid State Radio. Tim Ryan, the news director. Scotty J, more than an intern. And Dave Zinn, manager of the Rick Emerson Office East. See y'all tomorrow at 11 a.m. Like us next, as always. Don't let the bastards write you down, my friend. We will see you tomorrow. Bye.
Oh.